Certainly.
Like, that's
not
what Slater's music is giving you. Like, do you feel me on that?
Okay. No, Slater 100% does that. Like, you're doing a hit of poppers at the club. You're, like, on the treadmill at the gym, and there's this really hot guy you've been looking at for ages, and you're about to, like, go into the sauna and get DP'd by white muscle gay one and Latinx muscle gay number two, and then...
I knew Latinx Muscle Gay 2 was going to be there.
I really dislike the fact that your security like software has been deactivated and you've allowed these individuals into your space.
I have to go to the gym.
She said white muscle gay 1 first. Number 1, you put the white muscle gay before the Latinx muscle gay for once, girl? What's happening? Is this a different era for you?
Well, the white muscle gay is usually the more important one because they're the one with the most capital in the relationship, and the Latinx one is just there for diversity purposes.
So you just chose white man number 1 and white man number 2. White man and then white man dub, white man original language translation.
And then J-Lo casted as a white woman.
Actually, J-Lo is casted as me in the movie, by the way, because she's a black woman now, so.
Negrita.
Right. J-Lo's old enough to be your auntie now, and she's black, so apparently. So J-Lo will be reprising my role in the film. I just imagine J-Lo showing up in your DMs, like, shouting at you and forcing you to talk to her. Essentially all I do, basically, is just run up on Dolce.
Can I literally just, for my last comment, is just say that the white faggot one and Latinx faggot number 2, it's literally just the landscape of our porn community. Like, all white pages, and then there's bi Latin men. That's all I'm saying.
You gotta do some effort to figure out where the, like, non-hyper-fetishized, black men or non-white and Latinx men are.
Not my Max Connor, okay? I'm just kidding.
Max Connor!
I need actual, you do not deserve rights. I would like your rights, please.
I never wanted them, so.
You really do want to be incarcerated. What was it you said, 3 meals? Three government.
3 meals a day?
Taxpayers'
money?
Ring, Kamala?
I really hate that. Scorpio season is just off to the start. Like, the fucking
start.
She is
the moment. She is the moment, for sure.
Yeah, it's very Dora the Explorer. Like, Kamala, the incarcerator.
Kamala, no copping.
Oh my god.
So can we do our real intros this time just to get this out of the way?
Let's do it.
I will go last because I love going last. Life.
Hello there. I'm one of the many black children impacted by the carceral wrath of one cop Molly Harris, Julio.
Hello, I'm everyone's favorite pandemic alcoholic beverage and local Gainesville, Florida drag queen, Corona Light.
Yes! Celebrity.
Oh my god. And 2 days ago, I found out I am a criminal, a whore, an idiot, and a liar. And what I am doing is no longer any of y'all's fucking business. Dolce Jayetti.
Yes! All right. Yes, we clap for ourselves on this show because we're positive.
I hope the listeners really appreciate that, because my scandal binge right now is just going off. Like, I thought I was Olivia Pope, and then I realized I was Olivia Pope's father, and it's actually fucking with me.
Okay, the way that you say gender reveal. This gender reveal. How many years later? We weren't sure until we saw Scandal.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't sure. That was the tipping point, honestly.
Fierce. Like I said before, Scorpio season is here. Libras, back up. Okay, girl, it's not your time to shine anymore. We'll see you next year.
Y'all can ghost and play with niggas another time, bitch. It's time for the Scorpios.
Ooh.
The chaos.
Let them know.
Speaking of chaos, we have some black girls in position right now. Let's talk about Miss Ariana Grande.
Oh, we get right into the tour.
Right, Miss Executive.
We get right into the tour.
Miss Executive, Miss Presidente, Ariana Grande. Did we all see the music video and new single Position?
I sure did. And I'm happy to say that Black Girl Magic is on the rise. Girl. In the White House.
She was really giving me, like, Christina Milian with this, like, little, like, swoopy, like, little doo-wop, like, moment.
Oh, yes.
Like, you know, she's really giving you, like, you know, racially ambiguous, you know, blackish girl at this point. Like, and we all kind of have to just, like, you know, roll with it because it's just what she's going to be doing. So.
I mean, it's what me and you are doing, so. We don't have to go after her that hard, do we? I'm just kidding.
We don't have to go after her at all. Like, that's what I'm trying to say. We can just let her do her thing, because it ain't going nowhere. At least she's not using a black scent. Like,
okay.
Anymore.
In sync. That's what I'm saying.
Right, in fucking sync, bitch. Let's chew on this a little bit, right? Because, like, this song has been all over the timeline. It came out in October. It's that type of season. I'm sure we'll probably see, like, a costume or something like that online, or a cosplay or some shit. But, like, is the song good, first and foremost? And then afterwards, let's talk about how we feel about the video real quick and then move on.
The song is a 7.5 out of 10. It's okay. It's not stellar. It's not underwhelming. It's not anything. It's just very much like late 90s Aaliyah meets, like, modern pop. To me, because it's got that, like, it's got an R&B feel, but there's something very modern about the popness about it. But then, of course, she's giving you the mumble, like, you know, she's giving you all that.
But she's giving you Ariana. Like, that's really what she's giving you. Like, she's giving you an Ariana look. She's giving you an Ariana song. She's giving you Ariana mumbles. She's giving you Ariana. Like, I feel like at this point, like, I don't know. I just watched a video about, like, how Sweetener and Thank You Next was, like, her magnum opus or whatever the fuck. Like,
which is so cruel.
Which is like, a mess. But, like,
Dangerous,
you know,
Woman was that girl, but go
absolutely
on.
But I think they were also talking a little bit more to, like, her evolution as an artist and, like, her having more writing credits and having more of a hands-on approach to who she collaborates with and, like, who is in the room with her and how much more of an influence she has on her image and what she does. So it was a whole thing, and, like, how the era itself of Sweetener and Thank You Next had kind of changed the trajectory of her as a person and in her career. So it was an interesting, you know, it was an interesting white gay lens of a conversation about Ariana Grande. But I feel like at a certain point, she's very comfortable in this, like, bag that she has, where it's, like, it's a little bit of R&B, it's a little bit of pop, it's a little bit of just, like, I'm just doing my thing, like, rolling around making pizza or whatever she's doing in the fucking, like, video. And she's just singing about, like, female empowerment, I guess, like, very vaguely. It didn't move me in any way. It gave me, like, how Focus was just, like, she put that out and then, like, everyone forgot about it. Like, that's how I feel, like, this is gonna be.
Okay, I feel personally attacked because I actually love Focus.
You do? See,
focus on me.
Focus on me.
Focus on me! Woo! Like, that was, bitch, that's the most energy I've ever gotten from Miss Grande in my entire fucking
life.
But
she wasn't even doing the, like, focus
Not
on
at me. All. Not at all. And that's the gag. Like, Ariana Grande tries nothing. She lives her life, and it looks like she is just whisked from location to location.
But that's what I'm saying. It's just like we're giving her these flowers for just, like, being Ariana and, like, doing
Ari. Like, because, you know, it's half the effort, half, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not bad. You're right. I think
it's not bad.
I think we all agree that, like, she has talent. She can sing. She look cute. But, like, realistically, Dolce called that a 7, and I felt, like, the desire to jump out of my seat, because I feel like Dolce is correct that the song is not bad at all, but I feel like a 7 is, like, a lot, because
yes.
The song goes nowhere until there's the one, of course, there's always the Ariana part of the song, But then they turn the volume down and they soften it up and make it sound like, you know what I'm saying? Her shit always sounded faded.
Yeah.
Like, which it sounded like a sample of her own singing, which is crazy. The song is cute, though. Like, I wanted it to have a rap part because I know it's the formula and that's what the girls do. But there's a reason why we do that, because the songs get boring when you sing in that faded-ass voice and you don't fucking modulate or change a key or do anything.
Could you imagine Mulatto coming up on that song?
You really
want which one of the Mulattos?
Sukiana.
I need...
I need the light-skinned black champ.
I feel like Mulatto and Black... Like, side note, I feel like Mulatto and Black China look oddly alike to me now. And I've, like, looked at their faces a lot. And I'm like, these two are looking like a palette swap to me right now. So I just... We need to think about that.
The thing is, I don't even know what Black China even looks like anymore. So it's like, I can't even really...
Oh, fuck!
I'm sorry.
You know, let me not answer that question because I know...
I'm also... For the audience listening, I am not on social media and have not been for almost a month now. So the girls... I haven't seen Black China in a minute.
You really are giving, like, beautiful gowns right now.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, yes. Like, I just found out, like... I found out, like, the night of that Ariana was releasing this song. And I know if I was on social media, I would have been known. Because, you know, the gays were definitely flocking... around about, oh, she's dropping something, she's doing something. So
yeah, the gays have been... you didn't see
the release, you mean?
Yeah, I didn't know about it until, like, I was in my car leaving the hotel that I was at, and I was like, oh my god. Okay, for the audience, I know y'all's minds went there. Let's just clarify, I was on a trip and I was at a hotel. I was not there for what you think I was there for, just to clarify. And as I was leaving,
right?
Honestly, yes. So, yes, I was on my way home, and on a long, long hour and a half drive back to Orlando, I was listening to Positions. And the song was good. Like, it was cool. It just wasn't... It didn't give me a bop vibe. Like, I think Ariana's most interesting take on her music was honestly, and I feel like this is just me, was the In My Head Vogue performance that she had done. It was like a music video for In My Head, but the song was chopped and screwed. It changed her vocals a bit. It gave us some fading. Okay. It gave us some of her vocals.
It needs that.
Yeah, it needs some interesting, like, technical aspects, like production aspects of the song to make her extremely interesting. But I think Ariana has had, like, really high, high, high moments for me. Like, Ghostin' will always be the song that, like, mm-hmm. I play in my car. Same. And it's, like, 2 a.m. and I'm leaving the bar or something. And I'm, like, in my emotion bag. And I'm on the highway and the lights are passing me. And I'm like, ooh, I'm in my Ghostin' bag. Like, ooh, the tears. Yeah. Oh, my
right
God.
Right after White Muscle Gate 1 and
Latinx.
So we were talking about Ariana. I'm just kidding.
My thing is, like, I'm kind of sick of songs just being vibes.
And that
being the sole thing. Like, I love a good vibe. Like, don't get me wrong. I think Summer Walker's Over It was a complete vibe from front to back. But there was so much more going on that, like, made me want to continue listening and then repeat. It wasn't like, oh, like, I like this song when it's on. It's like, wait, like, I haven't listened to Body yet today. Like, let me, like... actually, like, rewind that back and, like, play it. Like,
is it because of the variety that Summer gave you?
You know what it is? Dynamics, storytelling. Dynamics. Ariana Grande is relying on, like, and again, this is not a huge criticism. This is, to me, part of what's actually happening in music. It's not really about her.
Right.
But, like, a lot of times in music now, all you really need is to say, like, one good thing in the hook, which everyone hears, and it has to resonate with, like, a part of your audience, or the loudest part of your audience possible.
Relatability.
It has to be kind of, like, it has to be kind of left, or kind of, like, you know, socially acceptable, like, from, like, a SJW standpoint. So, of course, woman, she's uplifting women, talking about positions, it's election season. So the song has all the ingredients to be, like, a vibe or a mood. But, like, if you listen to it, like, the song doesn't really take you on, like, a legit journey anywhere. At least that's not how I feel.
That's kind of why, like, and I said this in our little podcast chat a couple days ago, but I'm a little, like, tired of the girls just relying on the female empowerment thing as a baseline and not going anywhere with it. Because I love a good female empowerment bop. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, women empowerment all the way every day. I can listen to women sing and rap about women all day every day.
What about women empowerment, Remy?
What about women empowerment? Like, I'm all about it. But, like, that's my thing is, like, I feel like this song, and I don't want to say completely about Ariana, because I actually really do enjoy a lot of Ariana's music, but I feel like a lot of it is kind of left at a very surface kind of level where things aren't really, like, gone fully there, and you rely just on the relatability of your situations. Like, I feel like a lot of people, gay, straight, woman, man, any gender, any whatever, any orientation, they, you can hear a lot of, especially on Thank You Next, you can hear a lot of those songs and you're like, damn, bitch, like, I was just in a fucking relationship, and bitch, ghosting, breathing, like, all these different songs, like, I feel it. But, like, there are some songs that really were, like, that really were trying to give that, and they didn't go anywhere. And I think that's kind of why I feel that she's kind of relying on the, I'm Ariana, and I'm gonna give you Ariana, and y'all gonna eat it up.
It sucks because a lot of Ariana's aesthetic is like, I called it like irreverent, like, you know, mean girl type of vibes. Like, it's like she's kind of just like this girl who's there and like has an air of being above or better or outside, not even better, outside the context of where she really is. Like, she's there, but her mind is not there. She's not focused on you necessarily. Like, she has better things to worry about, or maybe more important things to worry about. And that's like her whole thing. While at the same time being this like, sort of like high femme, you know, like little girl in her little, you know, she's got the whole like the hoodies thing. Like, Ariana is a complex thing to look at and to listen to, and she has a beautiful voice. But I think what I'm personally missing from her is commitment. Like, I don't feel like she's committed to a lot of the songs that I see being praised, as opposed to, like, for instance, like we were talking about, we all love Thank You Next. Apparently, I thought Thank You Next specifically, her passion for the era that she grew up in showed so much in the video. The song had the right message, and it was, like, in my opinion, one of the best breakup songs I've ever heard. Yes. It was absolutely amazing. Yeah. And it managed to be positive at the same time. Like, Positions isn't topping this yet. So we'll see. I know the album, some girls were listening to a leak of it, apparently.
Really? The girl already leaked the album?
Bitch.
Child.
This gay online apparently got fined $150,000. Or at least so she claims. I believe it was a prank. I don't believe it actually happened. But she was like crying and the girls were attacking her and retweeting and like gagging. So,
oh,
like,
my God.
She might as well have been fined $150,000. Right. Same difference.
Okay, so now that we're talking about the song, how do we feel about the video? Because I feel like the video, I feel like for me, the video I actually enjoyed a lot more than the song.
The video is what makes the song good, in my opinion. Because the song needs, like, hard, like, honestly, guys, the song needs a remix. Let's just be real. That's just what it is. The song needs more than it has, and it needs to be chopped up or adjusted in some way. The video was super cute. I knew some faces in there. In the actual panel, like the cabinet that she had in the song, it had like a presidential theme, super on point. She looked fierce, looked beautiful. The issue I had is that Ariana is talking about positions and she don't switch her positions at all in the video. You just sitting on a bed with your legs crossed, just looking into the distance in every scene. Like, what is up?
You didn't switch the positions in the video.
As a verse girl, I wanted to see the verse icon that I expected when I got the song, because I know what the fuck I was supposed to be getting.
Oh my God.
And instead, I got this mail-in ballot order version of, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and Ariana always makes me feel like she's just mailing it in or phoning it in or whatever you want to call it. Like, I don't be getting the commitment. In some of her videos, and like,
her videos look good though. They look very well edited,
super high quality. But the girl high in quality. Them isn't doing anything.
She's not doing anything.
She's just being positioned. Yeah. They put her on the bed.
They like lowered her in. Like
they lowered.
They put her in the bed and they like flew her in. Yeah. They, like, hovered, they helicoptered her in and, like, put her on the bed.
What I will say is I think that her sitting on the bed in the White House is her commentary on what Trump should be doing as he has corona and refuses to stay inside.
Okay,
and
that was stupid.
That was her saying, Trump, you should be doing this. You should be staying on your bed, looking out the window, and that's it.
I do want to balance one thing, though, because this came up to me and I want to make sure it's said. Ariana, too, has had a tough-ass couple years as an individual.
Absolutely.
So, from, like, the human, non-gaggy podcast faggot standpoint, I actually do understand how, were I in her shoes and I had to still keep my life going, I might not be showing up in my music videos or in my performances or in my space the way that, like, maybe people would expect me to if I was hurt in the ways that she's been hurt. So I want 100% maybe speak to that as like a potential reason why. However, I feel like Ariana's always kind of given us an aspect of this kind of like checked out sort of baddie look that she gives. And so it's hard for me to give that full credit, but it's there.
Controversial yet brave. I guess like her aloofness is part of the marketing campaign for Ariana. Like when you look on the board of like how to create Ariana Grande before Ariana was Ariana, and they were like, we need to rebrand her. They were like, too much Tanner. We need to take a control of the blackfishing thing. We need to use that. We need to leverage that. Let's go ahead and put her in NW45 and, you know, bump her up from NW40. Like, we need to give her a little bit of a tan, let her compete with the Beyoncés and the Megans by kind of giving you some of the, I mean, if I was
I don't like it though.
If I was in the marketing boardroom, like, honestly, that's what I would do. Like, if I needed to get some plain Jane girl from Boca Raton, Florida, who stole another girl's position in high school or something, because, hey, Maddie, if I needed to bump up a girl like that, I probably would give her a little bit of an image that she's probably not used to. And I mean, I think Ariana fits into that. Her positions video is, it's cool. As I watch, like we were saying earlier in a joking way, like, it really does feel like she's just been kind of dropped into it. But that's really her gig. Like, she's never been a choreographer. She's never been a choreography girl. She'll never be Tinashe. Like, that's just not going to happen.
She's not going
to have that.
Yes.
It's hard because there's lots of ways to see this. Like, there is the part of me that wants to be like, there is a part of me that wants to be sensitive to the feminine conversation here, which is like, Ariana doesn't like necessarily have to connect with us or to be there for us. Like, you know, we talked about Summer Walker and how she has the right to have struggles when it comes to connecting with her audience. That's not like a crime, but I think it is a valid thing to talk about when you watch music videos and invest in an artist and you want to connect with them and you're just not getting it back. So I feel like it's not something that we should, you know, put her in jail for,
right?
But it is valid that at the end of the day, like, Ariana doesn't really give of herself in ways that maybe some other artists will do in a music video or in a performance. Like, you're not getting it.
I think performances, right, she could be giving, because like, her God is a Woman performance was everything. Like,
of course,
she's given performances. I think also, and I'm kind of harping back to this like video that I watched from this white gay, but she has her debut album dropped in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
So she's released 6 albums in 7 years, like, and toured for each of them. Mm-hmm. And she's released 2 Christmas EPs in the middle of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and she's always in the public eye, and like, she's made a considerable amount of music videos too, performances. Like, so I feel like, one, there's going to be a level of burnout, and then two, there's going to be a level of like, you're running out of things to talk about. Cause like, yeah, like, you, she's had a fuck ton of experiences, like the whole Manchester thing. Like, there was a lot going on. Yeah, there's a lot going on with her, and of course she had to take time off, and like, her ex-boyfriend like is like passes. Like, there's a lot going on with her for sure. And I think that really came out with Thank You Next, because like, especially Thank You Next, when she talks about Mac Miller.
Such, like, a perfect song.
I'm, you know, you, like, absolutely, absolutely perfect. And people knew why she was talking about it. I think that's what I'm kind of maybe missing from Positions. And I think it's because it's the lead single. I'm looking for direction. I'm looking for, like, where are you going next? And it almost seems like you're going backwards rather than doing anything different or going forwards. So that was my first thought. It's not bad, but again, it's just, like, what I've already seen from you, and, like, it's not necessarily better than the things that I've seen from you. It's kind of just, like, that's...
Yeah.
It's in the same realm, but it's not better. So I'm just like, okay, like, if you're giving me the same thing, at least make it better.
Positions really reminds me of her, like, Yours Truly My Everything era, instead of her Dangerous Woman era. Like, I feel like Dangerous Woman was really, like, the turning point for her, because...
That's perfect album.
Dangerous Woman had like
it one had bad songs, but
okay, but the girls really slept on 2 singles that I think I would have released if I was the exec, which was Touch It and the new Better Forever Boy song.
Yes,
those are the songs that needed to be released, because the music videos and the idea that Ariana is like, she's Ariana, like, I think she would have nailed that. If I was the exec in the room, I would have been like, please release these, because I think they're great.
You know what? Ari needs to be in a horror movie. I want to see that.
She was in
Scream Queens, and she was great.
Was she really good in that?
Yes.
She was in 1 episode.
Okay, but you know that movie? Because I was like, I didn't think that was a movie, but
it's a show.
It wasn't a movie, and she was in 1 episode. But like, She was gaggy. It was more of a comedy thing than a horror thing.
Hilarious, by the way. She's a part of the Mariah Carey school of diva humor.
Right. So it was also just kind of like the way she dies is she's having like a text conversation with the killer. And he's like, I'm gonna kill you now. And she's like, oh my god, no, please don't. Like emojis and like. She like tweets that she's being killed. Like it was just very funny and very Ariana. Like you knew why she was casted for that specific murder. You know, like you knew why. And that's my thing is I feel like Ariana is more like a brand than she is like showing herself as a person, which is completely fine. And I think now that's not necessarily as true as maybe like a few years ago. But it's still the brand of Ariana. But she's also one of the biggest pop stars in the world right now. So
she can sing.
But I'm saying, like, if you are a pop star, you're going to be a brand. Like that is a nonsense. Like, it is inevitable. You are going to be a brand. It's going to happen. So like, she's kind of like making her way into becoming her own thing. And I hope that this new album does just that. But again, like. It's the first single. All that I have to chew on this new album is this. I'm not going to leak it or look for the leak. I don't think that, you know, that's in my my conscience to do.
Yeah, I'm not doing that either. I want to hear it when it's out.
And I don't want to, you know, get fined by Miss Ariana, even though that would be legendary. But, you know,
it sounded like a horror movie. She said, please help me.
Girl, yeah, I don't want
the money for this.
Girl, the Arianators are also a very intense. They get overlooked, but the Arianators they're intense.
Well, the thing is, the Arianators are cold killers. It's not the same as like the High. The High girls are passionate, girl. Arianators are just as cold as their queen, girl, bitch. And they will come and just slice your throat and walk away. It's no problem.
The Hive won't do that either.
Well, the Hive will tweet about it, make it a whole thing, and dance around your body in like flames. Like they'll be burning, and they're just dancing like with tiki torches around you.
It's no, like they'll bring like the Howard University marching band, and they'll have like a step competition like up on your grave, like literally like,
on your body, man. The corpse. Your corpse is not even in the grave. They're stomping you into the ground,
stomping.
Bitch.
They're stomping. Yeah. God,
meanwhile,
oh my Rihanna's. God.
Meanwhile, Navy fighting over an album that does not exist.
That anyway, does not exist. Does not exist.
Just sniping girls for an album that is not on its
They're
way
over
out.
There literally begging their queen for content.
Begging her for scraps.
They're begging her for content. Bitch, here we'll you go, Ariana is releasing two albums in 6 months.
Bitch, we'll take a third work video. We do not give a fuck. Give us a
work video!
Bitch, give me a work part three with fucking Ty Dolla Sign, bitch. Whatever. Please! Like, let's get it in!
Speaking of stream featuring Ty Dolla Sign, now available on iTunes, Spotify, and Apple Music.
I heard it's sick.
Bitch, okay, if we can finally admit that, like, some people should just embrace the fact that they're featuring artists. Because the fact that he released an album with all of his featured singles, like, that's actually kind of iconic. Like,
that's smart as fuck.
It's so smart, because that's why everyone collectively knows that if Ty Dolla Sign is featured on a song, you're gonna listen to it.
Oh, so, of course. And Ty is a talented male. Like, I know I don't give men much credit on this show, and neither one does, but he can actually put words together and sing and, like, sound good. Like, he's talented in that way.
And he's fine.
Yeah, he is fine. We decided that it's not just him being light-skinned.
It's not just the light eyes and the light skin and the dreads. He's actually attractive.
I like how he got that the way of leaning his head back, and you see all that neck. I don't know what it is.
You know that I'm a Tinashe girl, so I love a no-neck type of girl.
You really do. Meanwhile, I'm looking for necks. I'm like, girl, I need to know that your head is above your body for a reason.
Thank you, necks.
That's okay. Being held up by... Thank you, necks! Anyway, thank you, audience, for your
next case.
I think we've decided Ariana has had an amazing career. We want to see more from her because we would actually want to see more and hear more. So let's hope that she hears us. So, you know, stands don't attack. Next on the docket.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
How do we feel about Miss Sweet Melody by Little Mix?
Oh,
I want to talk about this.
So I haven't actually listened to the girl. I haven't listened to the girl.
Okay, we'll table it for next time then.
It's like I didn't know who Ty Dolla Sign is, and I don't know who Little Mix is either.
Oh!
I don't know who either of those people are.
Little Mix, one of the best-selling girl groups ever to grace really the earth. You are
killing me. Bariekde?
Oh, what?
You don't know about the Jamaican accent skit?
Bariekde.
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 Bariekde. I shared okay, this can, in the chat.
Okay, so we can, you know.
You've never heard, you know, anyway. Let's
Latinx,
move on.
Is this Latinx girl bullshit? Is this something like that?
Girl, they're overseas. They're overseas. Like you love that. You love shit over there. I'm surprised, actually.
In Eastern Asia,
I don't know about all that. You like some of you like white muscle queen number one. So I don't know.
Wait, who is Asia. That? Wait, no. Sorry, let's
white
let's
muscle
get into
gay
it.
Number one. My fault.
Who is
that's
that?
Who I meant to speak of.
Oh.
So anyway, Ansars.
Well, can we talk about, well, if we really want to talk about a girl who's doing it in Eastern Asia overseas, like, let's talk about how all the K-pop girls have not given BoA, the queen of K-pop, her dues. And the fact that she recently just came out with an album and the single is fire and she's doing it as per usual.
I thought the only K-pop people that the girls knew was Blackpink or something.
Oops, Blackpink without, in your area?
Without our girl BoA, SM Entertainment wouldn't even be around to be able to have a Blackpink or to have a girls' generation, to have any of the girls. Like, BoA was like the first girl to ever go to Japan and actually chart and make money and be like the biggest pop girl. Like, the girls just don't know their history. BoA is yes. it.
Okay, I mean, what's the name of the album?
Hold on, let me look it up. Honestly. Hold up, I have not gotten girl. To listen to it that much because I discovered another artist that I've been listening to her, plus Olivia Pope has me right now, so give girl. Me a second.
K-pop is giving a moment. Y'all know I said on this podcast before that I'm, you know, getting into my Blink moment, and that was kind of a short-lived thing because I really, like, dove deeper, and I like their songs, but, like, they weren't speaking to me. I am getting
literally.
Into... I am literally
truly not speaking to you.
I said, girl, what? But I have been getting into Luna. Those girls are very, very talented, and they actually just released a new album called, I don't really know how to really pronounce, like, not like pronounce it, but it's like 12 o'clock or like 12 okay. midnight or something. But that's a really good album. The girls, I thought that, like, it was more like a meme, because all the girls would be like, stream Luna, and I'm like, is this just, like, a thing that girls say? Like, stream Luna. Like,
it actually is.
Stan Luna. Yeah, it's like kind of a meme, so I didn't know if, like, people were actually listening and streaming, but when I actually did stream, I was like, oh, wait, like, the girls were really trying to give me a testimony. Like, they were like, girl, like, get your ass onto this fucking group.
If there's one thing Korea can do is they know how to put some music together, like... I know the girls always want to talk shit and be like, oh, they're unoriginal, and they copy everyone, and then they just reproduce it and repackage it and put Asian girls on it. And, like, you're absolutely right. But there are definitely talented people coming out of Korea who actually can make music and, like, actually act and do all kinds of other really awesome stuff. Like, there's a lot of talent in Korea, and I'm kind of happy to see that. You know, for instance, on a random meme about, you know, police brutality, you'll see, like, a random K-pop stan like just post random videos of Korean people dancing
random.
And like chastise people for being anti-black, like, fine, like, go off.
Oh my god,
it's all happening together.
Oh my god,
you know what it is, it's just getting past the fandom with their poppers and their neon lights and all yeah. the other bullshit, you know what I mean, as
and
soon as
like,
I say
fake IDs,
yeah, there's something about, like, once I say neon lights, poppers, and like flannel, y'all will automatically pick up a portion of like who they are. Like, high tops and whatever the fuck the man bun, that shit. No offense, Kaput, I'm not attacking you. But, like, the girls really do have a bun all the time. Oh, well.
Yes, we're all bun girls in this studio right now, girl.
I actually do not have
a
bun right now.
Not this time, bitch.
I don't have a bun right now. What matters is what's going on in the present, not in the past. That's how I don't care about it.
A Taurus queen, true.
How about the future? How about the future, girl?
Right.
How about the future bun?
Not future. Not future.
Oh, please stop.
I'm excited for the next future Tinashe song.
Anyway, next case, what's the next topic?
Before we move off of the topic of music, can we talk about Miss Lowe? Can we talk about Miss Lowe and her new song? Miss J Lowe?
Oh.
Miss Negrita from the Block?
Let me just say, J Lowe. You have been here much too long for this. That's just one thing I want to make sure that is very clear. Like, Jennifer Lopez has been in the game for what feels like an eternity, despite looking exactly the same. And so I just really think it's unfair that someone with so many resources is just wasting our time like this. Like, you know better than this. You know better.
The girls were really trying to defend it too. And I just have like something to add to that conversation.
What is that to defend?
The main thing that the white and indigenous Latinx girls are saying in Miss Lowe's defense is that Negrita, although literally meaning black or black girl, is used as a quote unquote term of endearment for anybody or whatever.
That's stupid.
It is stupid, because although that is true, because there are families that none of them are actually black, but the darkest one of the family will be called Negrito or Negrita, like, even if they are not black.
Like, but see, that is the problem.
and that's my thing, is like, you are nowhere near the darkest person in the room, family, anywhere. So it's like, there's a pointed reason why this was used. It was more like I'm going to hop on this moment of like being like, black adjacent, because that word actually means things. Even again, there's more context for that word outside of the like literal meaning of it. But the girl, whoever wrote that song, because I know J-Lo did not write it, like, you really hopped on that shit and thought it was a cute idea, and it's not. It was not a cute idea, and you're getting dragged from every which angle, and it's. I really love to see it.
Like, someone really asked on Twitter if Ashanti is the one who sang this song. Because maybe that's why she said it and let it out of the room. It was you, Dolce, right?
It was me, actually.
Yes. Okay, here's the thing. Like, we all know in America, like, at least us black people, like, I have seen black people do this, right? We'll say, like, oh, hey, white girl, or whatever. Like, you can use racial terms that actually do not apply to people to address them if you have a relationship with them where it makes sense. And sometimes it's actually meant to be hilarious or funny or endearing or maybe even at times, like, ironic. But, like, J-Lo is not new to this conversation. J-Lo has literally been under fire for this type of thing. J-Lo has literally been around black people who probably have made it worse, to be perfectly honest with you, which is another conversation I want to have, is niggas that, like, enable these type of people and make this whole conversation harder for everybody. Y'all really have somewhere to go. But, like, J-Lo knew not to call herself a negrita in the fucking song. She knew. She is not fucking stupid. You knew better.
Like, the thing is if it's a term of endearment, like, that's something that other people would call you. So, like, you claiming that for yourself, it's like coming out and be like, hey, I'm Yeni la Negra. Like, I'm a Yeni la, like, stop. Like, what? Like, she would never do that, because that's not how it works. Like, you're not, like, this is not you. You're not
Tiffany
this person.
Tiffany Pollard made this exceptionally clear in I Love New York. And she had this whole conversation, this Latinx man on, like, what is, like, the first or second episode of the whole series was like, oh, you like my negrita or whatever. She said, niggerita. Like, there was a whole conversation about this. And I feel like there's no way J-Lo didn't see this. This is common knowledge. You don't call non-black people black people in America. You just don't do it as, like, part of a music video or part of a song. Like, you were not a negrita. And no amount of, like, Spanish-splaining or Latinx-splaining is going to make this work. No. Like, it doesn't work, and she knows better, and she's not stupid, and she needs to just be, like, put in a camp somewhere to talk about this. Like, they need to literally, like, put her in therapy and tell her to stop overstepping, because it keeps happening. It's Ashanti can't even make, you know what I'm saying? Like, Ashanti is, anyway, it's just not right. It's not fair.
It's just wild, because, like, this, and it's so funny that this happened, because do you remember, this actually happened before I got off social media, because I remember seeing it on Twitter, but it was this girl, and she was doing a Colors interview, or not Colors interview, a Colors performance on YouTube.
The hip to the hip hopper.
This bitch, her name, I think,
let
is
me find
Nafi.
It. Yeah, you find it.
This
yeah.
woman is, her name is Nafi Peluso, I think her name is. And she is, y'all guessed it, Argentinian.
I can't do this.
And she lived most of her life in, y'all guessed it, España.
Let me log off.
This bitch, really what came up on here, it was, acting like a caricature of a black woman from the Caribbean. And it was really hard to watch, like very hard to watch. And when you listen to, I was listening to her songs because I was like, maybe she just like really fucked up on this song. And like her whole image is not like, I'm a black woman, like hear me roar. And her first fucking song that I could find on Spotify, it's this song called Coraje. And in that song, the lyric goes, yo soy la mulata.
Let's not. Okay. All right. Okay.
And I'm like, this is why y'all can't, like, we can't do this with the girls that crawl out of Barcelona. And now, and now they're black Latinx girls. Like, it's just, like, really makes no sense to me.
Then we need to do an episode on this whole thing. Because, like, you can't tell me you, like, your whole grandma. Like, I'm being funny, guys. I know, like, history. But, like, your grandma, like, went over here trying to, like, conquer slaves and shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all over here, like, you could probably trace the relatives that, like, jumped overseas and tried to, like, started all this bullshit over here, bitch. Mm. Like, you can literally find their name probably in a book somewhere over there. Like, that is not a joke. At least in Latin America, you know, I'm gonna give y'all some credit. Like, there is a little bit of, like, a conversation about how, like, some people might have had sex with some people and did certain things. And so there's bloodline conversations. But, like, in certain other parts of the world, like, that's not really the predominant discussion about people's identity. Like, people kind of know where they come from. And, like, right. You don't just get to put, like, you know, your Bratz doll wig on and then just start calling yourself, like, a black woman. Like, it doesn't work like that.
It is wild and, like, especially, like, rather disturbing because at least, like, Negrita is somewhat, again, like, it's somewhat used not exclusively by black people as a term of quote-unquote endearment or whatever. Yeah, I mean, Spanish is a very fucked up language. We're not going to pretend like it's not. Yeah, we're not going to pretend like it's not. But you will never see a white woman or anyone white using or reclaiming the term mulata or mulatto. Like, you're not going to hear it because it doesn't make any sense. Like, you are a whole Rosalia sister.
Don't do this. Leave Rosalia out of this. That is a Latinx woman. Yeah. That is a woman of Latinx descent. Don't
so,
do that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I feel Latina.
Because she is. Rosalia, you know what? Y'all need to leave her out of this. Her people just went back.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. But that's the thing. I feel like at least Rosalia stays in her lane. And that's why, like, when I have to explain to non-Latinx people that really don't really know a lot about Rosalia other than she's kind of, like, on hip-hop songs now, they don't really know a lot about her. And, like, I have to say, like, yeah, she's kind of problematic. And they'll be like, why? And I'm like, okay. So she's, like, actually a colonizer, but she, like, wants to be down with all the Caribbean people because, like, they're hot right now. And, like, Spain used to be hot, but, like, now they're not really that hot anymore. Like, no one's listening to fucking Enrique Iglesias no more or, like any of, like, the older... Because a lot of, like, the Latin, quote-unquote, Latin artists, like, that were winning Latin Grammys and Latin, like, awards were actually from Spain.
But, like, the thing is, that's all the way y'all girls is fault. Because y'all love them.
We love Spain. Girl, we love them. We're like, girl,
y'all
please.
Love a white...
Daddy,
y'all
hey,
love
daddy,
that.
Girl. Hey, daddy.
Literally.
Come love us.
Y'all love that. And to be honest, Haitians, there was an era where the girls really wanted French, specifically from the tap. They wanted that shit from the tap.
The way I was just talking yesterday with my friend Yanita about Celine Dion, because she walked into my apartment, I was playing Celine Dion, I was like, girl, I'm having a Celine Dion moment right now. And she was like, oh, I learned English with her music. And I was like, honestly? Really? And I was like, honestly, I know a lot of Haitians that are like, I grew up with Celine Dion. She's the only white woman that was played in my house. Like,
yes! A lot of Haitians listen to, like, well, because, you know, we are from the same culture as y'all, right. Y'all hoes. But, like, we literally listen to, like, you know, Celia Cruz. Right. We listen to, you know, a bunch of Canadian artists often the time. And usually it's Celine.
The French.
We listen to the French girls. You know, it's totally, that's how it is in the home.
Yeah. So it's just, like, I get the, like, wanting to go back to the mother culture, like, or having some sort of colonial, mother. You know, like... Again, like, this is all a very fucked up colonial conversation we have to have to, like, really get into this. But it's, like, I get that that's in deep in these girls' subconscious. But it's, like, there has to be a line. and we have to draw it now. Like it should have been literally there. It should have been drawn and not crossed, but the girls just kind of play hopscotch over it, and they're just kind of like jumping and hopping and just like doing whatever. Because now we literally have actual white women calling themselves like mulatto. Like,
well, that's partly because money is powerful. Like, that's why they be saying like the root of all evil is money or whatever, like, or the love of money. It's just because it's profitable to be a black person and to have dark skin now, to have a big fat ass and to have, you know, curly hair instead of straight hair. Like, it's just profitable now. That's it. Like, y'all don't give a fuck. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm going to make it difficult. Like, you can't do this. Jennifer Lopez cannot do this. And I know too many of my beautiful, fun, love you so much Puerto Rican girls who, like, assume because they are from Puerto Rico, for instance, that they are actually black or part black or mixed of black. And we need to stop doing that. Like, you are not black just because of where, like, you just have an association with the place that has a lot of black people in it. Same thing happening in Brazil too. Like, there's an upsurge of Brazilians claiming African ancestry, but it's not like every girl knows that they are actually black or is getting tested or has like demonstrable black ancestry that they can trace. Like, a lot of it is just, I'm kind of brown.
That's exactly what I was gonna say. There are full. I follow a lot of curly hair girls on like on Instagram, and I tend to follow a lot of them that like kind of fit my hair texture because mm-hmm. I just like to emulate and like try to find products and stuff. And a lot of the girls end up being Brazilian, and they look like if they had their hair like slicked back, they look like full on white women. But like they have like afros. They have like 3C, 4A like. Like, some of them, like, really be giving you, like, texturized hair, but, like, Spaniard. Like, or Portuguese. Like, they be giving you, like, very, very white in the face and then, you know, kinky curls. So, that happens, too. Like, the girls, like, I mean, there has to be some reason for this phenotypical difference between me and the quote-unquote actual white person. So, like, what is it? And it's like, maybe I'm black, maybe I'm mixed, maybe I'm this, and...
What if you just got one of those white people in your family with the afros? They got white people with afros.
Yeah.
Those redheaded ones. I mean, I'm being funny. I'm actually being funny here. But there are, well, to be fair, that's true. There are actually like hashtag nappy white people that does exist. But like at the end of the day, the understanding of reality is that like we are all connected. We are all a family. Genuinely, clearly, we all came from Africa. But like the reason this is such a big deal, at least to me, is that like people actually do live black lives and walk through life without getting to decide one day that they're another race. And this doesn't work both ways. Like, I can't like wake up and be like, I am French. I literally have French ancestry, or I am Asian, or, you know, Middle Eastern. Like, I can't point at like a segment of my identity and take that as my entire one, or like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't like participate in that. And so that's where the power dynamic in the shift goes. Like, if you are a whole Jennifer Lopez, you don't get to be Celia Cruz for a day. Like, it doesn't work that way. There's a whole specific narrative of that. And someone was, like, talking about how, by the way, it was Celia's birthday on the 21st. So, like, go off, beautiful
rest
woman.
Rest in peace.
May she rest in peace. Someone made me think about this. Like, growing up, I was, like, her music was everywhere for me. Mm-hmm. Growing up, I like specifically identify her music with like segments of my childhood. And in South Florida, I remember going to Bayside and always hearing like covers of her songs or like the songs playing. But someone was talking about how like it's really interesting how like Celia is essentially one of the most popular or well-known, if not like the most Latin American artists in recent history that we can think of. And like, we still have to figure out if black people can speak Spanish. Like, we still have to have that conversation day.
Literally.
And she was a whole black person.
Yeah. It's really crazy how, like, there are girls, and I'm thinking back to, like, YouTube and, like, Instagram. Like, there's this beautiful Dominican woman, dark-skinned black woman, Monica-style muse. She is everything. And she was pretty much, like, a beauty girl. But her shift kind of, like, or her focus kind of shifted to being very unapologetically Latinx, because the girls were really trying to tell her that she like wasn't Dominican enough or she wasn't Latin enough, and like she was like, she was coming off as like, I'm really one of the only like dark skinned like Latinx like beauty people out here doing like and being all of those things all at once, and the girls were just not having it. So now like a lot of her focus is like including like she always brings on her mother and her grandmother, who are also beautiful like like brown skin, dark skin women, like talking about her heritage and stuff like that. But like, again, like she has to fight to be like Black and Latinx, and then like J-Lo can be Black whenever she wants and then like takes it back. And then like, I just watched or rewatched The Wedding Planner the other day where she's actually an Italian woman. Like her parents are from Italy. Like they literally are speaking Italian in the movie and she's an Italian woman. And I'm like, so we go from this to now you're, you know, La Negrita from the Bronx or whatever. So it's like, it's just like, it's too much gymnastics. It's too much acrobatics. Like, it's too much. It's too much. None of this whole like term of endearment thing, like, again, as much or as little validity as that holds, like, it's not anywhere near enough to let her have this clearance to be saying this shit. It's damaging.
It's damaging because J-Lo has been in the space and has had the mobility and the opportunity to learn. And that's why I think I'm kind of making this more important. It's like J-Lo has been a fixture in our culture, both in Latin America and in America, like proper. So like, at the end of the day, she knows better. It's stupid. She needs to stop. And also these Spanish girls, like Spanish girl.
Like Spanish. When I found out that this hip hoppa, that she was originally born in Argentina and then moved to Spain, I was like, that is just like, I guess the fucking like... the concoction, I guess. The like
concoction?
That's really what it takes to be this, like, deluded woman.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Because no, like, one is more racially confused than the freaking white Argentinians. They're really something else.
It is hard. It is genuinely just hard as fuck to be Black anywhere. And that's something we're learning more and more, is that it is not easy. Like, there's nowhere where it is just easy. Because you really got to, like, carve out your own space and exist and find a way to, like, be proud of yourself. And then people can just walk up into your racial identity and just take it from you and act like it's theirs. Mm-hmm. Isn't that crazy if you think about it? Like I'm going to literally be oppressed my whole life and you're going to walk up into my shit and, like, be like, yeah, girl, me too. Like, no! No, you do not! And I'm not a Black girl, actually. I'm a cis man. But I'm just saying, like...
Us girls. Like, wait, are you not Black, girl? Like, wait, what?
No, because, you know, people might not have listened to every episode, so I want to be very clear. Like, my pronouns are he, you know, and all that bullshit. But, like, at the end of the day, as a Black person who lives a Black life, it is annoying to have people who really don't just opt in to live your experience or to identify with your experience just to have certain tokens. Like, they can say the N-word and they can feel good about drums and shit and, like, play music that you like too. You know what I'm saying? Like, just participating in the sort of value of your culture.
And that's why I have to hold Rosalía accountable every time.
Of course.
Every time. Because it's like, girl, we already got enough issues in the Caribbean within ourselves. Like, enough racial issues, enough ethnic issues. Like, enough identity politics going around and people really co-opting like other people's lived experiences. We don't need you, who is an actual colonizer, coming in and pretending to be Latin. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. Like,
it's, yeah, just to be in a music video and to feel good about it. You know what I mean? Like, that's weird. That's strange.
It's just a little weird.
It's off.
And the fact that she kind of is going along with it, and that's like kind of where J-Lo comes into this too. It's like a very complacent kind of moment. Like, maybe it's not her. Maybe it's the machine working around her. Because we already know that J-Lo has no problem being pinned up and stomping over Black women. Mariah Carey, Christina Milian, Ashanti. Like, we already know that she has no issue, even if she's not actively doing it, that she has no problem, like, being moved to do those things. So it's like, I feel like Rosalía, if she doesn't want to go down that same road, and me in 20 years having to drag Rosalía in my 40s, bitch, I don't want to have to be dragging Rosalía in my 40s. Like, I want her to wake up while the problematicness is still tolerable, and wipe the slate clean and just be a very unproblematic white woman, and that's it.
It's tough for Rosalía because she, like... She lured me in with the flamenco roots because I was she's giving you folk. I thought she was giving you folk, like, she giving me European. You know what I mean? Like,
she's giving you Barcelona.
Yeah, like, I was thinking really you were giving me, like, young, you know, like, subculture of Europe moments. And I was, like, okay with that. That was totally authentic and it was magical in its own way, you know? And then to take that and then, like, start making these bops, which are not really, that don't feel, like, genuine for who she is kind of weird. With that said, right, going to, like, this whole idea of what it is to be a Black person and a Black woman, we are going to revisit this, I lied last time. We are going to revisit the conversation about the election and one Miss, you know, Kamala Harris. One thing that I think I was trying to get across last time, and maybe we all agree on this, I don't know. But there is this idea that, like, having a black person on the docket or on the ballot, like having a black person visible as part of, like, a packaged election, you know, campaign means you just automatically get black votes. That's just how it is.
Right.
And there's actually recently been a conversation on, I believe it was MSNBC, where three black women were interviewed about the fact that they're still, to this day, at this time, even, you know, though the election is underway, skeptical about Kamala Harris's record, about her place as a black woman in this election and what it means for them specifically. And so there was this interesting and honestly hilarious article by Jezebel that is titled, "Did the Kamala is a Cop meme help tank Harris's campaign?" So this was actually in 2019, I believe it was written, and I discovered it recently. And I think it really is interesting because it speaks to how meme culture fits into the context of an election and into like a campaign. And I think it's still relevant even now, as far as how we talk about Kamala Harris, how we think about her, and how we feel about her. And it totally played out during that last episode.
Yeah. I love talking about this woman, honestly. I think it's just a gag. I will say, and I'm like, I really do fall victim to this a lot. The way you pronounce her name is actually Kamala, and I like always mess it up. So I'm gonna try to like say it in the correct way, but I always default. But
Kamala,
yeah, with like the accent, yeah, maybe on the first syllable. But but I think this particular you know, discussion article about the meme around her, I think a lot of people make the memes without really thinking about the impact of them. Because I think that, like, a lot of people that were making the memes were probably going to vote for her anyway. You know, like, there were a lot of them that were probably like, yeah, she's a cop, but, like, they were maybe doing it for a gag or whatever. But, right, like, now, like, if you really think about it, especially when it comes to millennials and Gen Z, like, the girls get their news from Twitter. The girls get their news from the internet. They don't read newspapers. They don't even go onto, like, the, like, Yahoo News, you know, startup page, and that's where they get their shit. They literally go on Twitter. Like, because I had a moment where I was like, you know what, I don't get my shit from blogs. I'll, like, open, you know, Google Chrome and see what's on the little, you know, little first screen that pops up. Stop.
According to my, like, research.
to my studies. But, like, that is, like, the move for a lot of people, is that they get their shit from the internet, and like all of those things, no matter how, you know, asinine or like very just like, not even as asinine, but just like very just maybe like non-substantial memes can be, sometimes they're really just like whatever, but they still sway public opinion. And I don't think that people really thought that the Cop Mala thing would stick the way it has, but like, the way that it's also super relevant to, like, her actual policies, like, it has. And I think that the Democrats that are now embracing her, because we did a switch, we did Kamala's a cop, to now Kamala is the saving grace. So now it's kind of biting some people in the ass, because the Kamala with a cop meme was supposed to be all fun and dandy and funny. And then now, like, it could potentially be, you know, causing some people to still be doubting her and her intentions. But that's completely valid too. Like, I don't think that we should have like stopped that, or people shouldn't have made the meme, because one, it was funny as hell, because again, like, you're kind of parading as something that you're maybe not being 100% truthful on. But at the same time, like, the girls need to know, like, this is news. Like, the girls need to know your whole platform. We can't just play the whole, you know, lesser of two evils game until we die. Like, we got to actually know what these people support. So I think just like skimming through the article, I didn't get to the very end, but I read like up to this meme of her arresting a child.
So stupid.
I think we have to give the link, you know, somewhere in our social media for the girls to read, because like, it really is a good read, and the memes that are given as, you know, evidence in the article are a mess, but also hilarious. And it all ties into how we view her now, you know? It's all laced into her public image and how we view her as a black woman or as just a politician in general. So
I think it's funny that we talk about Kamala. God, it feels like I haven't spoken in ages. My energy. It's funny because at this energy level, I kind of am over having the conversation about Kamala's blackness in some ways. I think in some ways I'm over having a conversation about Kamala's dedication to the black community in certain ways. I think a lot of it, similar to what Julio said quite a bit in the past episodes, and it resonates with me, is that right now we're really just checking boxes upon what kind of marginalization she sits in, instead of like actually looking at what she's doing. Like Caputo earlier talks was saying that, you know, most millennials now and like Gen Z, Gen Alpha even especially, is not getting any of their news or any of their information from anyone that's actually credible these days in most cases. Mm-hmm. Like I guarantee you, if I was on Twitter, if I asked somebody under the age of 24, what amendments do you think would be put onto a ballot this year? They probably wouldn't even be able to name the ones that are even on their state ballot, let alone the national ones, right? So for Florida specifically, this year on the ballot, Amendment 2 is literally about raising minimum wage to $10 per hour, which would be effective September the 30th, from what I remember. And also, in creating a yes for that amendment, it would also raise it $1 per year so that by 2026, we'd end up at like $15 an hour for minimum wage. And I bet most people under our age group even probably would not know that these things are even on the ballot or even care about these things. So I think it's interesting, going back to Kamala, is that like, thanks to mascotization and memification, we've gotten to this place where a person is no longer a person in any context. Really what they are is, again, like we were saying about Ariana, that Kamala is a brand. She's not actually a person that we're hiring, but that's what we're doing. We're hiring someone to a job. A politician is not a celebrity. A politician is just a person in the general populace that ends up getting maybe a little too much money, a little bit too much power, and they end up being thrown into office, you know, maybe a little bit, to do things that affect millions and millions of people, and we're only ever really putting our collective voice into this one person. But I think thanks to cringe culture and memification and lolcowing, Kamala herself, it did affect her run. Like, that's the tea. The article is right to me. It did affect her run, and it affected everything about her as a person, because people were no longer looking into her past the prosecutions, past her position as a state attorney, past her position as, just about anything that has to deal with the state, anything state sanctioned. They started looking at her just as a meme, and that messed her up, unlike what it did to the Obamas, where it lifted them and they were the first to take social media, because social media was relatively new during his election, the first round. It was relatively new, and they leveraged social media and digital advocacy and things like that as a way to prop him up. So I think what made Obama ended up destroying Kamala. And I think it's also very poignant to add that, you know, Kamala is, of course, a woman, a black cis woman, and she is also, like, I think she has an Indian, a Desi background. So in this day and age, I'm a little kind of over picking her apart in that way, just because I guess I'm tired of, like, checking off marginalized boxes instead of just really looking at, like, what is she doing for policy? You know, and when I did look into some of the things that she was doing, pushing past some of the means that the 22-year-olds put up, like, honestly, she's not that bad in some cases. She has some really bad history, but that comes with the job to me in certain cases when you're a state employee in most cases like this, and you're at some of the highest level. I don't know. I don't want to make it seem like as if I'm on her side or that.
No,
it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
the thing that holds a lot of weight too, because I think the general consensus is that all Democrats hate cops, which is like not true.
Right, at all.
Like Democrats actually like kind of love cops. Like liberals, like in a way, like they really do love law. They don't like, I guess, quote unquote, police brutality. Maybe we can go that far. But like Democrats do not come out as a platform and say, we do not support the police. We want to abolish the police. We don't support prosecution. Like, we need to get rid of for-profit prisons. Like, a lot of the people that are supporting for-profit prisons are Democrats. So it's like, I think we have this idea that, like, the radical left, quote-unquote radical left, is, like, the entire Democratic Party, which is completely false. And the girls are really trying to, especially on the internet, because, you know, with the internet, the girls really be like, they be typing and tweeting, and they like that's where a lot of activism, you know, really is broadcasted a lot of the times. Like in a lot of spaces, it comes out on social media. It comes and you find a lot of community with people that think similarly to you on social media. So people have this idea that the world is like as liberal as maybe Twitter is. You know,
or their little echo chamber,
like everyone thinks that same way, which, I mean, if you are someone that doesn't like the police or like, you know, all cops are bastards or whatever, like that you can't project that onto the Democratic Party, because time and time again, like they've supported like these policies. Like we have Joe Biden and all the Clintons and even Obama and like all these people, like they support the military and the police. They support wars. They support all of these things. So it's like to hold Kamala is the one that like gets the heat. Is probably because it's very low hanging fruit, because she literally was the prosecutor of like the attorney general of the largest state in the union.
And it was marijuana charges.
Yeah, like, so like, it's very low-hanging. So, like,
she deserves everything she's getting. I'm sorry.
No, you know, I mean, absolutely. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I love the meme. Like, I love the meme.
Yeah.
But, like, that's the thing. Like, it was very low-hanging fruit. And I think, as well, she's a black woman. So, like, yeah, the girls are really going to come for her in ways that, like, is a little bit more of a gag. They're going to be having fun with the way they drag her. Because, like, that's just, like, some sort of like thing on the internet. Like, I'm telling you, like it's a whole machine, that the way that we're dealing with Kamala, because again, like we don't drag Donald Trump in the same way. I'm saying in the same way of dragging, like in like the playful, like, no, yeah, I think, yeah, no.
You're talking about the fact that she's like Auntie Vivian,
yes.
Kamala now.
Yes,
Kamala.
Like it's more of a meme she's to drag accessible. Kamala. It's a more of a, exactly. It's accessible. It's low hanging fruit. You get to just like drag her and like have fun and gag and key. But like again, like we turn to the Republicans or even some people in the Democratic Party, and we treat them and we drag them differently in different ways, because we've deemed certain things about people's platforms and what they stand for to be worse, or not, again, not worth this like gaggy like circle.
A lot of it moment. Is optics. It's optics.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
Y'all really acting like these Democrats ain't dropping drones on the girls.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Exactly.
Like, well, like, oh, lives.
Can I make a controversial yet brave statement?
Another one?
Love those.
I've actually got another. I got a lot of them today. So the thing
speak
is,
on it,
right? None of you really care about drone drops, to be honest with you. A lot of you are sitting up at home with your iPhones and your $1,200 cases and doing your LED light installations and hoping and praying that someone doesn't actually call you out on the fact that you have no clue what a militia is and you don't know what the Red Army is. So I'm not saying that you don't actually know what you're talking about or you don't care. But like, most people don't care about the drone strike in Syria. Most people don't care about children dying due to a river, like a dam breaking down. Most people don't have the they don't have the emotional development, nor do they have the resources in themselves to pull that kind of emotion out of somewhere. Like, to me, I think that in most cases, these people are not... for what they are looking at Kamala for, they are not actually judging it on the scope of like, who am I, who in this electoral race is actually going to maybe think about pressing the button. to, you know, do the drone strike? Or what money and what part of judicial government am I supporting when I support XYZ candidate? Like, I don't think people are thinking that hard. And back to, like, your statement earlier where you're, and I completely agree about how people are getting their news through Twitter. I think it's funny because, like, I looked at an article and it was, like, sizing up Twitter users. And I remember it talked about how, like, 80% of tweeters, that's, like, the, you know, they're, like, the top 10% of, like, U.S. adults. And that, like, 20% of us are, like, you know, in our age group, somewhat middle class kind of people. And then there's really only 2% of us. Like, when I say us, I mean the privileged people that are sitting in this call right now, and the people who are listening, and the people who are on in leftist Twitter. Like, it's only 2% of us that are quote unquote leftists or abolitionists or activists or whatever. Yeah. So when we're in that, as Julio said, echo chamber, it makes it very hard for you to be able to gauge the relevance of, like, the politics that you're talking about. Yes. Like, it's very hard to, like, look at the echo chamber and be like, oh, I might not actually understand what I'm talking about, or maybe my memification of this person might not actually be very beneficial to whoever is really... Yeah. Like, if you go on, like, a call, I remember I was looking at a situation with people calling voters, and I did this once, and I'm incriminating myself, but I've been a person who did volunteering for Obama, like, a couple of years ago, like, back when I was in university. And, like, when you call the general person, like, the 80%, and I'm not saying they're plebeians or that they're commoners or whatever, but I'm saying that these are people that are not unlike us. When you call the regular general voter that's, like, 35 or maybe 40 or whatever, they don't really care about leftist politics or any of those things. They don't even know what that is. Most of the time, those people are really caring about what's helping my family. You know what they're scared of? They're scared of Antifa. They're scared of people in the media being construed as, like, oh my God, these people are gonna, you know, come to my house and be rioters. They're scared mostly about what the media is showing them. And when they're online on Facebook, it's old news. It's shit that was on Twitter 2 days ago. You know, they're barely able to keep up with the news in general. So they're people that are not keeping up. Which is as gaggy as what I said before, where it's like you don't care about drone drops. But honestly, the tea is, like, a lot of people don't. They don't even know that the drone drops are even happening. People think
that they happened.
Yeah. People still think that Obama is, like, this perfect, amazing president. But there's a lot to presidency than just sitting around and making, quote unquote. Like, a lot of people think it's about making laws in some ways. And yeah, the president's not doing that. Like, you really have to think from the top down how it's working, who, what you're voting for. And the fact that, yes, like Julio was saying again, which I agree a lot with what he says, is like, you're not going to help anything using the master's tools. But honestly, in some ways, there are some subtle differences depending on who you're voting with. Because when I was out in Vero Beach, those Trump signs to me,
bro,
were death signs.
Oh my God.
Trump
the
signs.
The Treasure Coast yeah, is so racist, girl.
It's death signs to me. I fear for my life. In regular, subtle, liberal America, neoliberal America, I don't have to fear for my life in the most general public. I fear for my life in, like, normal, everyday situations, but I want to do it a little less. So I guess in some ways I'm saying, like, I don't know.
Biden 2021?
No, it's not even Biden 2021. It's just, like, sometimes I wonder, like, how useful is meme discourse when it's 95% of it is just about being gaggy and funny and playing into meme culture.
That's what it is. And it's also, like, a false equivalence. It's like, if you're anything left of centrist, you're, like, a communist now or something. Or, like, or you're gonna expect that same energy. And I think that's more of, like, the leftist girls that really expect that. Or, like, maybe the ones that are still deluded into thinking that the Democratic Party, like, actually supports that.
It's literally Tabby and her furry e-girlfriends that are Antifa and Tyler and his fursona running around with a baseball bat. Like, that's what Antifa is. Like, if you're scared of Antifa, you're not scared of anyone except for, like, you know, trans men in fursona things and AFAB girls walking around with, like, glitter gender shit. Like, that's literally what you're scared of. And you don't have to be. Like, those people are actually fighting for you. I'm just saying. When I'm in this depressive mode, I just can't.
Is you 100, not that you did a lot of things wrong. Like, I agree with a lot of what you said. The thing that that stuck with me the most is pointing out that, like, sorry to say this, it hurts your feelings, I'm so sorry, but the reality is that, like, your opinions and political views are often less important to most people than you think. Mm-hmm. Because you don't actually realize that, like, we all ease our way into our politics, I feel. Most of us have been eased into being hashtag leftist or liberal or whatever you want to call it, right? Mm-hmm. We didn't just wake up one day and know every damn thing or read every damn book or go through every experience and get pushed in this direction. Our circumstance, our perspective has come through a cultivated experience that has come from life being the way it is for us, right? Or maybe even being surrounded by people whose lives have been a certain way and therefore have impacted us and made us feel empathetic or whatever. But, like, a lot of people don't go through certain things or see certain things or maybe come up in different circumstances. And so when they hear your opinion, it is not something that hits them the way it should hit them, in your opinion, because they are not actually you. They don't come from where you come from. And so I think that there is a really valid, like, a really valid aspect of talking about how the presidency is not as simple as just getting up there and making all the right choices. Because, like, we see this even in corporate America, like, the minute a girl, your best friend, becomes a manager, like, she's not calling all the shots. Like, she's making hard calls sometimes. Like, I don't know if you've ever had a friend or been the friend who's, like, been promoted and you have girls who, like, you worked with before. The dynamic automatically shifts because suddenly the power dynamic shifts and suddenly the distance between the circumstances of working hashtag on the floor are different than being in a space where you essentially have to account for more people than yourself or your immediate family or immediate friends. Like, presidential Obama is not actually a real person. He is, like, somebody, he is in an office and he has to be a type of person. It doesn't excuse choices he's made, bad or good, but I think it speaks to how people get to that position and what they feel like they need to do and the pressure it can put on you to be in those positions. So I don't know what candidate we received from the DNC or from, you know, the Republican girls that would have done something differently in his same shoes. I really don't know.
And that's the thing. Like, I think that the girls really thought that if they voted for somebody else or if they picked somebody else within the Democratic Party, they would have gotten a different outcome. And, like, it's kind of a hard pill to swallow, but, like, that's really not true. Like, the girls don't be electing these far left, you know, people that they think they do. Like, they're pretty much electing centrists into the White House. Like,
The commercial for Biden recently that I just watched, well, not for Biden, it was attacking Biden from the Trump campaign. Funny enough, the whole fucking commercial starts with he campaigned with communists, and you see, like, Lin Pinjing.
Vogue.
You saw Leaping in that, and then you talked about socialists, and they had Alexandra and Nancy Pelosi standing next to him, and you talk about how those are socialists. Girl, the reason
it's delusion.
You neoliberal girls lost your ballot and didn't get Bernie in, as many of the Bernie girls wanted to call it, is because a lot of y'all are neoliberals without any actual context to the privilege that you have and the fact that you can't actually relate to any of the people that are around you in a constituency that's not made for you, that doesn't care about you, that doesn't see you, that doesn't want you. Like, these people don't care about even the neoliberals in a sense, because Kamala and Biden are responding, their camps are responding to the 80% of people in the U.S., that are actually going to influence votes. Like, that lower 20% is not being, you know, taken. And the 20%, you know, 17% of that are the neoliberal girls. People who, like, walk into Starbucks and order their frap and think that seeing a black man doing the thing, they don't want to call him a certain name. Like, they're more concerned about, like, his name and the fact that they're trying not to be, like, you know, microaggressions and shit. They're more concerned. Those people are the people that are, like, it just doesn't work. It just does not work. I'm tired.
That's valid. That's, like, that's valid to do. But I think, like, if that's where your politics stop, that's an issue. But I think it's also, and, like, I like how you brought that up about, like, the way that conservatives view the Democratic Party, because I feel like the Democratic Party is having an identity crisis right now, and that's not and that's not a racial one. Like, I mean, at least it's not the only one that they're having. They are having an identity crisis from all sides. They don't know who they are. The people that support them don't know who they are, and the fucking Republicans don't know who they are, because no one in the Democratic Party is a communist. No one. You can't give me one person that is giving me communist policies. Not even Bernie. Bernie's not a communist. Like, he's not a communist.
I think the most left person is Ilhan. She's the most that they could even get.
And that's close what I'm to. Saying is, like, it's all false equivalencies. It's all about making, like, thinking that the Democratic Party is the safe haven for communism, and like how like they have embraced all these leftist ideals, and that they are breaking free of the mold of, you know, conservatism. And that's just like not true, and everyone is buying into it, and that's why the Democratic Party is like failing so often, and like they're not connecting with people the way they really need to. It's because it just, they come off disingenuous, and they come off like they don't know what they're doing, and they come off like all these different things. But the thing is that, like, a lot of times for a lot of people, like, they're the best bet. Like, a lot of people vote with a best bet, like, lesser of two evils kind of mentality. And not to say that you have to vote for a communist. I'm not even saying that, like, if a communist came on my ballot, I would vote for them right off the bat. But I'm saying that I think people really are putting a false narrative on this whole scheme. Not even just the Democratic Party, but everyone seems to really hone in. Even the president, during the debate, when they were asking about quote-unquote law and order and policing, and Joe Biden was pretty much like siding with the police, and Trump goes, well, you just lost the radical left. Like, you just lost your whole fan base. Like, okay, they're all...
That was not even his whole fan base.
And that's why... Not a crumb. The thing is, when I gave the little sound bites of, like, what I actually liked out of the Republican part of the debates, the girls were dragging me. They were like, why would you, like... Crumb. But I'm like, they were actually dragging, like, correctly. Like, we all know what the Democrats are going to say about the Republicans, because there's so many things you can drag them for, because a lot of them are actually evil people. But, like, no one turns around a lot of the times, because, like, the Democrats are viewed as, like, something that they're really not. And they don't really ever get questioned on it.
Y'all niggas really see these Democrats as, like, Atticus Finch or something, girl. Y'all really think these...
Y'all really think that.
Girls just trying to just free a slave and shit.
Like, and that is why I will retweet any hashtag Kamala is a cop meme I see. Because y'all need to see it. Y'all need to see it. When y'all are sitting in that ballot box, I want y'all to remember the pictures and the memes. Yeah. And I want the video of Miss Kamala marching with the fucking marching band, and then all of the prison doors closing and shutting. Because that is really what it is. You have to be real. You can't live in a fantasy world, especially if we're talking about how important our votes are. If we're talking about how important our votes are, we have to actually know what we're doing, and we actually have to be real with ourselves. And that starts with the people that we're actually voting into office, you know? Yeah. This isn't about, you know, the benevolence or like the virtue of any particular candidate in particular. I'm talking more about just being real with what it is. We live in a world of facts, and we live in a world of truths. And, you know, we can't always know the facts and the truth, but when it comes to someone's, you know, someone's past, how they've acted as a legislator before, and what we know that they support, we can bring that up. That's very valid to talk about, and maybe it'll cost us an election, but like, the Democrats, they are harping on this same kind of thing, and I've seen it in multiple elections and midterm elections and all these different things. They harp on that identity politics and people's and how people feel about certain issues, and I feel like it's time for all of us to be real with that, because we're real with the Republicans. We will read the Republicans to filth because they deserve to be read, but we need to find a way that is going to actually help all people and help each other, you know, and not or at lie.
At least let us sit in a room and be like, yeah, this ain't shit. This is
fucked. This ain't shit. That's what we have to be real.
I'm tired of seeing y'all literally like doing this whole like put a wig on it movement. Like this whole
put a wig
like,
on it.
It looks nice now movement.
It's give her a blowout movement. Work.
Yeah, no, and really though, like people are so committed to seeing themselves in a good light or in a positive light, that they will just justify the fuck out of anything they want to do, including vote for monsters or people who are right next to monsters. You know what I mean?
Literally.
I think the put a wig on it movement, though, is in response to the idea that, again, this lower 20% that we're in, us, we're very privileged sitting here, we're able to have this discourse. Most people can't actually do that. Those people are sitting there caring more about what's happening on the general first layer, like the epidermis, whatever you want to call it. You know what they mean? They're like, they're surface level. They don't really care about the lower end. Like, for leftists, we're actually able to talk about the difference between restorative justice and utilitarianism backgrounded, like, politics. Like, we're actually able to look at that and understand the difference and understand that maybe retributive justice in some ways isn't going to necessarily work, and that utilitarianism obviously doesn't actually, it's not very reverent to human emotion, which is why in most cases utilitarianism does not work in a political sense, because we have to work on the difference between politics that are just factual and straight up and upfront and don't really give a fuck about people's emotions versus utilitarianism, which is, that's utilitarianism. And then the other one is literally retributive, where it's like, we have to take in consideration the families and the things that happen within incarceration and understanding, like, what do we want to do to curb the incarceration? What do we want to do in order to create communities that are less violent and create society that is less violent? And how do we work with that? The general populace is not going to be able to talk about that because they just don't have it. They just don't have it. And if they do, it's in a Facebook article that BuzzFeed probably wrote, and it's from Quinta or whoever at BuzzFeed that decided to put that together. You know what I mean? So I'm very iffy and weary in some ways nowadays with some of the political discourse. Because a lot of times, honestly, I look at Biden and Kamala and I'm like, you know what? I'm not part of that 80%. I'm just not. I'm not part of that 80% that cares about that kind of stuff. Because, again, in COVID, who survived as much as they did? I did in some ways. So I'm not part of that 80% who's, you know, looking at the general politics. I have to look a little bit deeper. And I think the Democrats are the Democrats and the Republicans are just responding to what the surface level needs, because that's what they can do to get voted in. It's the reason why Bernie didn't win, because Bernie's whole entire audience was talking to that 20%. Even sometimes a little bit lower, depending on what policy you're talking about. But the reason why he didn't get voted in was because the DNC girls were like, okay, you work for that little 20%, the girls in university that, you know, are scrounging and waiting on the grant to drop for FAFSA a week, when you can go to the mall and go to Express and spend all your money on FAFSA week.
But then they'll put Kamala on a ticket who finished in third place in her home state of California.
Well, that's like, because they didn't necessarily like her. They did not like her.
But that's what
I'm
saying. No, like, the girls were not eating her up. The girls were not eating. They were leaving crumbs on the plate.
But you said it earlier.
Kamala crumbs.
You said why earlier. It's the identity politics bullshit. They really do care about identity politics, because it's what wins votes. It's what wins followers. And it gets people to interact with them in a way that separates them from Republicans. Because the only thing they can do to separate themselves from Republicans, albeit very difficult to do, is that they can only use identity politics right. to separate themselves. Republicans don't give a fuck. They will pro-life the fuck out of it, and, you know, out and overpopulate the world and not give a fuck about it. And you know what? They'll sit up in their church and praise their God. And you know what? Honestly, I stand a little bit, because at least they'll leave me the fuck alone while they're at church.
I think there's a certain arrogance that we should call out here, where we actually believe that every Republican actually believes what the fuck that they're doing. A lot of them just want to be powerful, and they're just going to appeal to whatever culture makes the most sense for them. And if I was a whole white man and I could get away with saying some crazy ass shit like Donald Trump is doing right now, maybe not Trump, but like, I'm trying to basically say that I think that as much as we're identifying the sort of like duplicitousness that's part of being a politician on the Democratic side, I think it's probably on both sides. Like, there are people there who probably don't believe a lick of what they're fucking saying to these 80% girls that we're talking about. You know what I'm saying? So it's hard for me as an individual to understand how people don't get it. That's actually my biggest problem. My problem is not really that, like, this is happening, because I think Dolce's made it pretty clear that, like, at the end of the day, the politicians' most efficient course to getting into power a lot of the times is going to just be appealing to like the masses, the lowest hanging, you know, the largest common denominator, the lowest hanging fruit. Sorry to say it. That's just reality. And I'm not actually surprised by that. It doesn't hurt my feelings. I think it's sad, but it's just what it is. I'm more so shocked that people are actually entertaining it and playing into it and pretending like it's a real thing and not identifying that.
Yeah.
It's like being that Whitney Houston gif where she's in the crowd looking around like, oh, y'all are all watching this and like not seeing what I'm seeing. Like, what the fuck?
Honestly, I'm Mariah Carey in that video where I'm just like, kind of sitting there like...
clap.
Cause like, cause
it's all you can do.
Because that's exactly, that's where I'm at. Because it's like, I can't look at the Democratic Party as anything but insidious. It's like, and exactly like how Dolce called me. She was like, girl, you said it earlier. Like, they did it for identity politics. And I'm like, exactly. Like, I hold both parties for face value because that's not our only options. Like, that I think like we've also kind of given into this idea that like, this is just how the world works. There's conservatives and there's liberals, and then like we always fight with each other, and like nothing ever gets done. Like, but we're all individuals, and we know what's right. You know, we know what has to be done. You know, what we say online, you know, and what we support on Twitter and everything, like that has to correspond to like what happens in the White House, what happens in these places. It can't just stick online or we can't just like eat it up and kind of like chew it and swallow it and then like vote in whoever just cuz, like it's all a game.
That's the benefit of being from a culture, cuz I'm Haitian American, you know, whatever. Being it, one of the benefits of not being like descended from Americans your entire life is you get to like have like a slightly more international perspective, because traditionally, American culture and American school systems don't push the international perspective very much.
Very egotistical.
Like, exactly. The American exceptionalism is alive and well, doing her thing. So, like, I feel like people don't acknowledge just how America is. America is America, regardless of if you put a blue wig on it or a red wig on it, or blue suit or red wig. Like,
it's whatever. A big bitch with an army, and it really does affect a lot of things.
Exactly. And y'all forced me and guilted me and shamed me into voting for the Clintons, who specifically helped to dismantle the stability of my country that like my people are from. Like, I have people in my country, and America is my country. I was born here, but you get my point. Like, I'm not just American. I have intersections. And like, for me, I had to like go against part of how I feel about myself and about where I come from to like fit into this culture that blames me for what's wrong with the country when that's not actually my fault. Like, it's not. And that's the part I'm tired of. That's the part I'm done with and I'm not doing anymore. It's like taking accountability for the fact that America is America. America does what America does, and it doesn't matter what color the party is or the president is or whatever. Like, we do American things, and we bomb people and we kill people and we manipulate governments and we play into everything that's wrong with the world. And until that changes, honestly, it doesn't matter what fucking party it is for me personally. Right. It's just a different skin. Dark mode, light mode, whatever.
Yeah. Well, now that we're wrapping up. Oh my God, before we wrap up, let me just say this because I am angry. I just want to get this out.
Last point.
Just because you took Intro to Sociology 3046 doesn't mean that you're able to use the word gaslighting on me and actually act like my opinions are gaslighting when I'm just telling you what I'm thinking. That's all I got to put out there.
Well, you're talking to something we should probably talk about in another episode, which is that people use buzzwords they heard like once or twice on a Twitter thread.
Parodying.
Like, apply it just to every damn thing they think it halfway applies to. Like, you know when like you learned how to like, you know, like solve formulas in math and they sent you home with like 40 problems to fix that and you just had to apply the same strategy there. Like, that's not how life works. Like, stop doing
that. Just because you memorize a quadratic formula doesn't mean that you're better than me, Susan. Okay. Ooh, Jesus Christ. Let me
look Susan up on Twitter after this and do my little research.
My name is not Susan.
Okay. Okay, Alice.
Rest in peace, Whitney, okay? Rest in peace to the black queens that have come before us, Whitney Houston, Celia Cruz. We love you.
I only listen to singers. I very rarely listen to
music. I listen to vocalists. I love, you know, sweet melodies. I love...
This is gospel. Where the music is fading right now.
Oh, this is where I love gospel. Fade me out, bitch. Take the wig off. I did.
See? de amor, quien tiene la defensa. Tengo que vivir, que estar.